Come down, come down.
Okay, so we're going to discuss two Rashis, just you, me, and Abiel. Discuss two Rashis that mention Hanukkah, mention the miracles of Hanukkah, the days of Hanukkah. One is in Parshas Vizos HaBracha, based on a pasuk in which Moshe gives a bracha to the Levim, and one is a pasuk in Parshas in Zechariah Perek Tes. There's a nevuah there in which, at least according to Rashi, there's a reference to the Nisei Hanukkah. Now, before we discuss each Rashi, just the phenomena itself that Rashi reads the Nisim of Hanukkah back into the Psukim, whether it's Moshe's bracha or Zechariah's nevuah, is itself meaningful, notable, because Hanukkah occurs after nevuah. It's in a period where there's no nevuah. Tanakh has been closed. It's not incorporated. Makabim is not part of Tanakh. It's about 200 years, about 150 years after nevuah has been lost. And you can imagine that the people who were involved in the Nes of Hanukkah, they must have been very, very uncertain whether they should go to battle. In the days of Mordechai, they had very clear instructions from the Sanhedrin, from the Nevi'im, from Mordechai, from Esther, from other Nevi'im that lived. So they had a direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Given that direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were able to navigate their way and plan their response. Here you're dealing in a period which is no Nevi'im. So how do you, there's no Urim Turim in the second Beis HaMikdash. How do you even get this answer? Keep in mind, it wasn't so clear that they should even reject the Greeks' decrees, because many of the decrees were tangential. You can't have doors in your houses. Your wife has to go and be with the Greek emperor for the first night, first rites of her wedding. These are not Yaharik Vel Yavar. Rosh Chodesh isn't Yaharik Vel Yavar. Shabbos isn't Yaharik Vel Yavar. You could say it's a Shas Akzer, it's a Shas Ashmad, but it wasn't clear and obvious what path they should take, especially since so few Jews resisted the Greeks. So it must have been very interesting to look back at these two psukim, at least according to Rashi, and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promising victory for the Chashmonaim over the Yavanim. At the very least, it was very, very meaningful to look after the fact, not just to decide whether to engage in battle, but also after the miracle. Is this a miracle that we should really enshrine as a yomtov? Should we make a yomtov out of it? Which I always think is part of the oil. The oil is not the reason we're celebrating the Hanukkah. The oil confirmed the fact that everything happening around was really prophetic and really divine and really Yad Hashem. When they saw the oil last 8 days, this is a clear sign that this wasn't just an episodic military victory. This was a real Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just good morning, Levi. Just the fact that there are two Rashis, in one in the Torah, one in Tanakh, that Rashi interprets Pesukim. It's not Pashut that these Pesukim are references to Hanukkah, but Rashi interprets these Pesukim as references to Hanukkah is extremely meaningful about Hanukkah. Now, what are these two psukim? One pasuk is in Vizos HaBracha. In Vizos HaBracha, Moshe is giving his brachas, of course, and his bracha to the Levim is, one of the brachas is, Baruch Hashem Chelo Ufal Yadav Tirtzeh. Hashem will give a bracha to his army, and his work, and their work, the work will be approved. Baruch Hashem Chelo. So the metaphoric reading, which is the Pashut reading here, is that the Levim are the army of Hashem. The soldiers have a mission. The mission of the Levim is to serve in the base of Mikdash, and they receive a unique bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rashi says, no, this is a bracha that is referring, Moshe realizes that one day the Chashmonaim will lead a battle against the Yavanim. There'll be Rabim Miat Miatim, there will be the minority. There'll be, just as Rashi says, 12 brothers and Elazar facing an entire army, tens of thousands of Greek soldiers. They will need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. So Moshe is already programming a bracha for the Chashmonaim already in the beginning of the Levim, already in the beginning of history, the beginning of time. Now, what's unique about this mention? I mentioned before the very fact that it's in the Torah is itself meaningful. But what's unique about this mention? To appreciate this mention in this bracha for the Chashmonaim, you have to see the context. What does Moshe discuss in the beginning of the bracha to Shevet Levi? What is the introduction to this? He talks about their role in the Egel Hazav. If you look at the beginning of the bracha of Levi, what's the bracha? Ulu Levi Amar, Tumecha v'yurecha l'ish chasidecha, Asher nisiso b'masa, Tiriveu al-mei meriva, Homer li'aviv v'limo, Lo risi v'sechav lo ikir v'smanav lo yadaki, Shemur m'sachav v'scha yitzaru. They didn't care about their brothers and fathers. They preserved their Kodesh Baruch Hu's bris. According to Rashi, this is a reference to the Egel. They actually killed their own family. But the Levim said, Mila Shem Elai. Obviously, the Levim didn't worship Avodah Zarah, but they were half-brothers and step-parents and people in their overall family that weren't Levim, they had to turn on to protect Am Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. In that context, By the way, Hashem will give a bracha to the next group of Levim that battle, the Levim and the Chashmonaim. So why is it important to see the backdrop? First of all, because just like in the days of the Egel, they fought to protect the Jewish people from the encroachment of Avodah Zarah, the Levim in the days of the Chashmonaim, as I said before, it wasn't just about the decrees, this decree or that decree. There was a sense that Greek culture was invading Judaism, that Greek culture was invading Eretz Yisrael, that Greek idolatry, not really idolatry, but Greek fraudulent religion, was invading Eretz Yisrael, so that to protect. It's not just a fight for national identity or for national sovereignty or for autonomy over lands. This is a battle that was chapter 2 of the Egel. This is part 2. This is the sequel of the Egel. And if it's the sequel of the Egel, well, then that's why it's Rabban Biad Mountain, because during the Egel, there were also Rabban Biad Mountain, who was the only Sheba that didn't worship Avodah Zarah. They could have balked at this invitation of Moshe Rabbeinu from Moshe to join the battle. Look, we're just one Sheba. How can one Sheba battle against 11 Shvatim, 11 other Shvatim that had fallen prey to Avodah Zarah? So this, the ability to see the battle of the Chashmonaim against the Yavanim amidst the backdrop of the Egel Hazav, and to see that it's not just a battle for Jewish sovereignty, but to protect the Jewish people from the encroachment of Avodah Zarah. And to do that, Rabban Biad Mi'atim, people who are in the minority, are willing to be Bosa Nefesh. That's the message of reading the Chanukah story into this pasuk, as Rashi does in Parshas Gezal Sebracha. The next pasuk is even more interesting, because it's a pasuk that a lot of people don't know. Zechariah Paraktes. It's a very, very interesting nivuah. And according to most Rishonim, it's all about Mashiach, because there are psukim in here that seem to be only about Mashiach. The very famous pasuk about the poor man riding on a donkey, Ani Rochev Al HaChamor, is in Zechariah Paraktes. Sounds like there's a lot of end of days nevuos about HaKadosh Baruch Hu making sure there's no longer any armies or any wars in Eretz Yisrael. And yet in the middle of that, Skili Me'od Bas Tzion, the daughter of Tzion should be happy because I'm going to save you. In the middle of that, here's the pasuk. Ki darachti li Yehuda keshes. I've turned Yehuda into my bow and arrow. Makavi, Yehuda Makavi. Milesi Ephraim. Why is Ephraim mentioned? It's not clear. I will wake up my children in Sion. Al banayich Yavan, on your children Yavan. I will awaken my children in Sion, on your children Yavan. Okay, that sounds a little bit Hanukkah-like. I will awaken Yehuda against Yavan. A couple of psukim later, and all of their stones, all of their catapults will be destroyed. Rashi says that's also a reference to Yavan. We'll see why later. And the final reference to Chanukah in this parak is Ki Avnei Nezer Misnosasos Alat Maso. Pearly jewels will be risen or will arise above your land and they will shine above your land. Rashi says this is a reference to the Kohanim who wore the Choshen, and the Choshen had jewels in them, and since the Kohanim victored on Chanukah, so people talked a lot about the Kohanim. By the way, very famous Sefer, the Avnei Nezer Sefer. Sefer written in the 19th century, this is where it comes from. Avnei Nezer Misnosasos Alat Maso. So Rashi says, most Rishonim disagree with Rashi. Rashi says, not all, but many. Rashi says that in the middle of this conversation, there's a reference to the Chanukah triumph. Right in the middle of this parak, this higher parak des. Why is it important that Zechariah is reading Chanukah into parak des, so that there's a pasuk in Zechariah that's a shout out to Chanukah, aside from what we said in the beginning, that now Chanukah is part of Tanakh, and Chanukah is part of the Nevuos, even though it happens after the Tekufas HaNeviyah. So there are three issues in this parak. Issue number one, the beginning of the parak talks about all the other international empires that fell when HaKadosh Baruch at different stages. Again, the chronology of this parak is a little bit off. We don't know when it's happening. There's a lot of that sounds like it's happening already during the period of Tanakh. There's a lot that sounds like it's happening in the days of Mashiach. But there's a lot of attention paid to Tzor. Tzor was the northern kingdom. Tyre, created the city of Tyre, modern-day Lebanon. There was a very, very big empire there centered probably on Tarshish. Who goes to Tarshish to take a boat? Yonah. So that's really a seafaring area, commercial area, the Phoenicians. And they acquire a lot of money, probably Sennacherib Melech Ashur's kingdom. And that falls and will one day become the border of Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about the borders of Eretz Yisrael in a moment. So within that, the Chanukah miracle is discussed, or at least alluded to by Rashi, to tell us that we shouldn't just see this as a local battle between the Jewish people and some sidebar country that wanted to persecute them. But this is part of different empires that visit the earth, that challenge humanity morally, religiously, theologically. And when the Jewish people battle these empires, they're protecting humanity as well as Judaism from the encroachment of these superpowers. So there was an alignment between Tsar and between Yavan. In fact, when Rashi describes Hanukkah, he actually makes reference to the fact that Yavan took the power from Paras, the Greeks took the power from the Persians, and then with all the power and empire that they had built, now they were threatening the Jews. Sometimes we tend to shrink the miracle of Hanukkah. Yeah, there were a couple of Seleucids up north, and they came to battle us, and we defeated them, let's make a Yom Tov. Yeah, but they were reflective of the entire Greek civilization, which was the dominant power of the day, and that dominant power that had taken all of the power from Tsar, or from Paras, that had taken it from Tsar. Remember, if you want to train, Greece was a product of a lot of power, affluence, shifting from one empire to another. It started with Sennacherib Melech Ashur. Who defeated Sennacherib Melech Ashur? Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. Who defeated Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel? Paras and Madai, Persia. Who took, not all the power, but much of the power from Persia, Greece. So this was four empires, four generations of empires with all the accumulated wealth and power and authority now facing the Jewish people. And that's something you can only see from Zechariah Paragus because of the alignment between our battle with Yavan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's destroying Tsar and destroying the Philistine. Number two is that you see Eretz Yisrael being settled. Part of this end of days prophecy is that the Jewish people, actually Israel, will be extended until Tsar. Israel will be extended until Damascus. Again, we're not acting on this now. People read this, oh, the Jewish imperialists, Jewish Zionists. But if you read Parak Tes describes, listen to the first pasuk in Parak Tes in Zechariah, Masa devar Hashem be'eretz chadrach v'damesek, menucha so. It will be part of Hashem's menucha. Kol shifte Yisrael. V'gam Hamas tikvolba. In a city called Hamas, up north, not with the sign of Hamas, but Hamas tikvolba will be part of the borders. V'tzidon. Tzidon will also be part of the borders. V'tivan sar matzarlo. And sar will also. So the battle over the Hashmonayim was not just a battle for religion. It was also a battle for autonomy over the land of Israel. And even though that autonomy lasted only 200 years, as the Rambam writes, but we believe that everything in history is a carve-out. And carve-outs set patterns and paradigms that can later be revisited in later stages of history. So if the Yavanim defeated the Hashmonaim and restored Jewish sovereignty to the land of Israel that was threatened by the Yavanim, who could have taken sovereignty away from the Jewish people and captured the land and settled the land, then we're creating a carve-out that makes it easier for us to settle Eretz Yisrael in the future. And it's not easy to settle Eretz Yisrael. Or just like the Rashi in the beginning of Vayetze, that Hashem folded the entire land of Israel and placed it underneath Yaakov's bed that night to make it easier for his children to get. Imagine if Hashem didn't make it easier, how hard it would be. Hashem made it easier for Yaakov's children to capture the land of Israel. So by placing Hanukkah into Zechariah Perek Tes, there's another framing of Hanukkah, not just framing of Hanukkah as part of this unfolding battle with super empires and superpowers that visit this earth, but protecting the sovereignty, protecting the integrity of our sovereignty over Eretz Israel. If you read the parak, you'll see the parak. The parak is very much about protecting the sovereignty of the land of Israel. And then finally, one other aspect that comes to the fore in Zechariah Parak Tes is that there's a lot of instruments of war being discussed. A lot of bows and arrows, a lot of chariots, a lot of big boulders. And part of what made the war with the Greeks so challenging is that the Greeks had really innovated warfare. Part of it was elephants, part of it was chariots, part of it was bows and arrows, but with Greece, Persia and Greece, and if you've seen the old movies, the old warfare where you take the dagger and stick it into the guy's heart, and maybe if you're lucky you have a spear, where you just run into battle and you fight one another, and you kill each other, you know, one by one, man or man, at Greece, all of a sudden, is more military strategy, and more horses and chariots, and more catapults, and more bulwarks. I'm not getting into medieval war or pre-medieval war, but when the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, let's read the last pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, Hashem Tzivakos yagen alhem v'achlu v'kavshu afnei kela, Hashem will destroy all these boulders that are being thrown at you. Rashi sees this as a reference to Hashem subverting all these new weapons of the Greeks. So there are two places in Tanakh where Rashi reads the Chanukah Nes into the Psukim. One is in Parshas Vezos Sabracha, Baruch Hashem Chelo. One is in Zechariah Perek Tes. In Vezos Sabracha, the primary theme is to see the Chanukah story as part two of the Egel. Egel with the Levim standing up as a minority, protecting Am Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. The same thing happened in Chanukah. The primary reason in Zechariah, Perek Tes, is to see Hanukkah as historical, not just as part of the Egel, but as the challenge of the superpower Yavon, taking power from Paras, which took power from Tsar, which took power from Asher, and seeing Hanukkah as a way to create a pattern in history that we should settle our land by defending ourselves in this land and triumphing over countries and powers that try to take this land from us. Chanukah Sameach, everyone. Zechariah Perek Tes. I'm trying, Levi. I don't have any answer for you yet. So